I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 500. It's the 7th of June, 2016. On the podcast today, I have CEO of Tuple.com, that's T-O-O-P, Andy Hollingworth. He answers private investor questions on their progress since their flotation in May. I think May 10th, so less than a month they've been floated. And Andy's very bullish on the progress so far. Also on the podcast, he's the hot man of the moment. Last time he was on the podcast, he mentioned 2 stocks that have gone through the roof since he mentioned them. It's Smudge Dan. Today, those 2 stocks back then, by the way, were Tajori, TJI, and Flying Brands, FBDU. Today, he's chatting about St. Peter Port Capital, SPPC, and Zmano, ZMNO. So, a very interesting listen. Also on the podcast, the UK's favourite technical analyst, as he's been recently described. Zach Meir charts the following stocks: Chariot Oil, Iofina, Independent Resources, Noricum, Sarium, Seeing Machines, Sylvania Platinum, and Westminster Group. And also, today's stock with potential is suggested by MarketMaster and is Servision, ticker SEV. I'll read out the reasons why MarketMaster thinks that's a top stock in a bit. But don't forget, right now, live prices are now available on voxmarkets.co.uk. It costs £9.99 a month, no contract. It's a rolling contract month on month. £4.10 goes to the London Stock Exchange for the feed. £5.89, do the math, Justin. £5.89 goes to charity. Vox Markets receives no money whatsoever for live prices. So you get your prices, you get your information, and you give money to charity. You can't get better than that, sure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Tuple.com, that's T-O-O-P ticker, Andy Hollingsworth. Thank you for joining me again, Andy.
Good afternoon.
Now, it's been about, just under a month since you floated. And how's it going, Andy?
Yeah, it's going really, really well. The interest from the market entry has been significant. The website has been busier than what we expected. And the customer interest and the customer orders are exceeding expectations. And that's even considering that we've not started the viral marketing campaigns as of yet. Those are due to sort of commence in the next 7 to 10 days. So really blown away with the level of interest on Tuple.com.
That's excellent, and you can hope for better. So before we go any further, just explain to people who didn't hear that interview or are not aware of Tuple.com what you do there, Andy.
Yeah, Tuple.com are a dedicated online telecoms provider for the small business market. And the small business market that is a sub-50 employee market, and probably myopically a sub-20 employee market. It's the ability for people to be able to buy their telecoms online, to be able to deal with a provider that doesn't deal with consumers and doesn't deal with large businesses, but is truly focused on the small business needs and making sure that small businesses are well served in their telecoms requirements.
Okay, well, we've had some questions submitted, and the first question is, I don't understand why Tuple offers... What does Tuple offer that no one else does? Can you clarify your point of difference, please? And so you've chosen to focus on this, small businesses, and you say sub 50, maybe even sub 20. Why that area? What's the difference here?
Principally because I think it's ignored by many of the big brands in the market. They have huge consumer numbers. They have large bulging pockets of cash from the large companies and the corporates and the enterprise market, and everybody thinks that the small business is sort of a wrap up of a prosumer offer, and we know that small businesses tell us That they really don't want prosumer offers. They want, you know, what I call an everyday low price. So that is somebody that is dedicated to answering their calls in a UK environment, not in an offshore environment, and somebody that is transparent in their pricing, that basically says, this is the price that you pay on a monthly basis. It's not promotional-led. It's not a hook to get you in. It's the price that we would charge you for the life of your contract. That's exactly what Tuple.com do. We service our customers either online or from our UK-based business. And what we tell the customers that they pay on a monthly basis is the price they pay for the entire length of their contract. Or indeed, with the, you know, with the broadband, business broadband, you get great business broadband unlimited at no cost for the 24-month period of the contract. It's not a promotion. It's transparent. It's £17.50 a month line rental, and your broadband element is totally free of charge, committed for the 24 months. So that's what makes us different, is the fact that we listen to small businesses, we react to what they want, and we give them a great experience, whether it's through the buying process, whether it's through the provisioning and going live process, or whether it's through the in-life process.
Yeah, so I suppose you are tailor-making it for small businesses, whereas other bigger companies are not really doing that. They're trying to sort of, you know, give them something they've already got that doesn't really fit a small business. Is that the case, kind of thing? It's transparent as well.
Absolutely. Two things, really. Listen to the small business, react to what the small business tells you, and then give the small business choice.
Okay. All right. Next question is, do you need to raise any cash?
No, obviously, successful market launched, raised $2 million on market entry just over 3 weeks ago. Net proceeds from that was $1.6 million. The business will generate a monthly operating profit in month 17, and then we'll quickly move into cash generation on a monthly basis. So the market entry was key to us funding the business, and we remain committed to that business plan.
Yeah, so you've pretty much covered the next question, which, how much cash do you have? And you sort of covered that there. And next question was, why have you accelerated your mobile offering? So can you explain this, and why did you accelerate it?
Very simply, the mobile networks were really excited about what we'd created with Tuple.com and the market launch. So they were able to accelerate our ability to connect into their platforms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and as simple as that. So basically, you had to push forward because the demand was there. Is that the case?
The demand is there from customers, mm-hmm. but it's really important that we're not just a soulless broadband provider. Mm-hmm. That customers have got, you know, a real, what I call a dual play offering. So they either take mobile, or they either take broadband, or they either take both. So there's more reasons for somebody to partner and join Tuple.com. That gives us breadth in our digital marketing. So, you know, there are more reasons why people should join Tuple rather than a one-dimensional approach of just broadband. And always remember that the more products a small business takes off you, the more stickier a business becomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next question. How many customers do you have presently?
Well, the really exciting thing is we've not even completed our first month of trading from market entry, mm-hmm. but already the customer base has more than trebled. And that's even before our marketing activity has really started in earnest, just really from people picking up the market PR that we've done. That tells us a number of things. It tells us that the proposition is really attractive. That gives us the confidence to start spending the proceeds of the float on the viral marketing that we're going to do. And what we can also see, that customers are ordering online. They're also ordering and calling our agents. So we're converting the levels of interest just from the stock market float. So customer numbers are literally, massively expanding on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Yeah. And next question says, what revenue do you generate?
Revenue, as you would imagine from a growing business, and the growth that we've seen to date is ahead of expectations, but certainly will increase further and further once we start the digital marketing. So you would expect us to be a hugely increasing revenue business, and that's what we are. However, it's really important that we point out that every pound of revenue growth is underpinned by strong gross margin. Couple that with a carefully managed overhead, we're ensuring that Tuple meets its three-year objective, which is to be, you know, an EBIT producer and a cash generative business. Mm-hmm. And a really good example of this is the mobile offer that we will launch in the market in the next 2 weeks. Let's just take, for example, the O2 offer that we will launch. $9.99 a month for a small business for an O2 SIM. That includes unlimited calls, unlimited texts, and 1 gig of data. That is more disruptive and more competitive than any of the main mobile networks, but it still brings over 30% gross margin. Yeah. And if the customer then chooses to take a handset with that SIM, which he can pay for over 18 or 24 months, that's fully funded by HHF. And that gives Tuple all of the money up front on day one, again with good margins. So all the cash for the business is in the right direction. And, you know, it's really important that whilst our revenues will hugely increase, then it has to be underpinned by strong gross margins to make a good business.
Okay. Next question. Do you have any debt?
No debt at all in the business at Serverpool for at least the next 3 years.
Excellent. And last question here is, what's your target for the company next 3 to 5 years? You sort of touched on that. So can you go over that again, the three-year target there?
Yeah, well, if we talked about the small business market, and we talked about, obviously, that sub-50 employee market, there are just a little over 5.2 million of those businesses in the market, with upwardly of 15 million employees. Our plan is to take a minimum of 1% market share over the next 3 to 4 years of that. That means that we will generate over 50,000 small businesses joining Tuple. And that will ensure, you know, 1% market share will ensure that we're extremely cash generative business producing a good EBIT performance. And if you then look at our industry sector valuations are anywhere between 9 and 9.5 times EBIT as a valuation of the business. Mm-hmm. So we expect to see significant growth in our market cap.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Marvellous stuff. Well, Andy, if anyone needs any more convincing, could you give us 3 reasons why someone should put Tuple.com on their Vox Markets watch list?
I think first reason is we are extremely different in the market, highly automated way that a small business can procure their telecoms. Number two, dedicated to that particular segment where there is huge market opportunity for us in those 5.2 million businesses that exist in that market. And number three, I think most importantly, and the important thing, I think that there is a huge opportunity for the growth in the market cap and obviously hence the share price based on taking the 1% market share in that market.
Marvellous. Andy, lovely to chat to you again. And like I said, you are just a fledgling company at the moment, just a month trading. So everything's happening is fast and exciting. And like you said, you are blown away by and you've exceeded expectations so far. So I'm no doubt you'll have some more exciting news along the way. So listen, come back and chat in a few weeks' time when you have some more news to share with us.
Love to. Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the hot man of the moment. It's Smudge Dan. You all right, Dan?
I'm very well, Justin. Very well indeed. Thanks.
A couple of your picks, I'm kicking myself for not even getting involved in. But I'm trying to achieve a strict discipline where I have to do, due diligence and lots of research first before I just jump in. I know a lot of people have done well just from saying, the last podcast you were on, TGI and FBDU, you mentioned, and they've both flown crazily since you mentioned them, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I mean, certainly in the case of TGI, I was just quite lucky that they announced that land sale and the price shot up. But they've still got two other plots which I think they're trying to arrange a sale for. So I think there's plenty of upside still there. So I'm still holding that one. And
as a summary to that, they're now a market cap of 6.65. They were, what, half that pretty much, were they, when you mentioned them, I think?
Yeah, they were about half that. I mean, I bought in last September, so it went up sort of 800% from my initial buy-in at its peak. So I took some off the table then. I've kind of took about half off, left the rest on there, and I'm just going to see how the rest of it goes.
Yeah, and at the time, this is a company in Dubai there with 3 plots of land, and the one they said they're finally going to put up for sale. And what was the price of sale of that?
They got $6.5 million for that one, which was above the book price. I think it was the book price of about $5 million.
That's mad, isn't it? You know, and this is where your expertise lies, I think, and you do a lot of research looking into these companies, these small companies that seem pretty much undervalued, you know, at their basic level. They have lack of love. There's no love there for these stocks. People have forgotten about them or not interested in them at all. And then you say, hang on a sec, look at the value on this. And you unearth that and you give it a bit of air. Like you came on the podcast and mentioned it, and all of a sudden, you know, people know you know your stuff and you've got a good track record. So they got in there and they went nuts. And people started saying, you know, basically, like I said, there's lots of gems out there, isn't there? It's just, you know, people like yourself, very, very few and far between, will do a lot of research and dig them up and think, here we are, here's a diamond in the rough. And all it needs is a bit of air of publicity and it can fly, you know? So how's FBDU doing?
So that's done well. I think when I mentioned it on the podcast, it was a couple of months ago, it was probably around about 3p, something like that. So it went up and peaked at 7 point something. It's fallen back a little bit, but, you know, I think everything's still to play for there. I'm still holding. I'm still very hopeful that they're going to conclude a deal shortly. And because it's main market listed, there's certain rules in terms of dilution. You know, it's not an AIM company where you can get diluted to hell. I think they're limited to about 10%. Of the shares in issue. There's only 30 million shares in issue at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think when the deal day comes, and bearing in mind the market cap's still pretty low, you know, it's still sub 2 million.
Yeah, it's 1.9 or something. Yeah, 1.93. Yeah.
I'm still very hopeful for that one.
Yeah, and I suppose it doesn't matter. I'm looking at the chart then, it scares me a little bit to get involved because the chart in the last couple of months or so, it's gone nuts. But you say, when you look at it on a valuation, metric, then it's still sort of, you know, undervalued, I suppose. Or, you know, it can present good value, I suppose. I'm waiting for them, Dan. What are your little gems this week?
I've been buying a few, actually. I've been buying a few over the last month or so, even some this morning. I won't go into any detail about the one I bought this morning. It's a company called Modern Water Group. Riddler mentioned it to me earlier on, and I think that looks good value. But the two I want to mention today are a company called St. Peter's Port Capital. SPPC is the ticker.
Yeah. Okay.
And they've been, you know, like many of these type of investment companies, which I tend to avoid because, you know, they're quite difficult to value. And in this case, pretty much everything they've got is unlisted at the moment.
Yeah.
So you're heavily reliant on the company's valuation, and obviously in a fire sale, it's questionable whether they'll get to those values.
Yeah.
All that being said, I think there's such a disparity here. Between the NAV, which is around about £30 million, and the current market cap, which is £6.2 million.
Yeah.
And I think there's several catalysts, which, you know, I always try and look for a catalyst when I'm buying something, you know, something relatively near term. Otherwise, it's kind of dead money just sitting there. But some of their investments are, they've got one company called Stream TV, who are developing 3D TV without the need for glasses. And that's heading into commercial production now. So I think that's going to get a lot more exposure. And you know, it might head towards IPO around the sort of commercial launch date. That's my guess. I don't know that at all, but
yeah.
That's just a guess. They've got a Uruguayan agriculture company, which has been planning to float for a while. So there should be some sort of return there. They've got a Brazilian potash investment, which has completed the DFS and is going on to the next stage of funding. And they've also got a company called iCure, which is developing a vaccine for flu. And they're only at stage one at the moment, so, you know, very early days, but just another interesting investment. They've also got a lot of oil and gas and some mining. So they've got a real selection. But I just think there's a big disparity there. They've got cash of $3.5 million. So I've just taken a position there.
Yeah, I'm just looking at interim results, and when they were released, this is for the end of September though, so they may have come down a bit, but investments in 25 companies of 46.2 pence per share NAV NAV there. That's down 21% since March last year.
Yeah, and like I said, that's due to the oil price, I think, predominantly, and the metals.
And 3.5 million in cash as of 8th of December 2015. Yes, you can see they are undervalued, aren't they? Absolutely. Have you mentioned them at all on Twitter or anything? And
I've mentioned it. Yeah. I've mentioned it to a few people. I mean, I think there is value there, and I think the other issue is that the previous fund manager has gone. This guy called Bob Morton. He retired, and it's been taken over by Shore Capital. That was earlier in the year. Shore Capital then promptly bought 10% of the company, so they've got some skin in the game as well. You know, not far off these prices, it's kind of bumbling along the bottom at the moment.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a pretty good time to get in.
Okay, so it's SPPC, and I always like to ask people, you know, if you can prove it up, give us three reasons why someone should add this to their watch list. I think we've covered it, but as a summary, what's the 3 points, Dan? If
yeah,
you
my
narrow it down.
My 3 points are really the huge disparity between the NAV and the current market cap. So that's point number one. Point number two is that Shore Capital have taken over the management of the fund and have taken 10% themselves. So they've got some skin in the game and, you know, hopefully will breathe some life into this where it's kind of just deteriorated over time. And I just think that thirdly, that there are several catalysts on the horizon with the Stream TV, with the Uruguayan agriculture, Brazilian potash, possible IPOs. You know, so we shouldn't have to wait too long before we get some news.
Yeah, and do you know what? What's interesting as well, like I'm looking at their breakdown, 32.3% of their investments are in oil and gas. And I just saw just now that Brent has just hit $51 a barrel. So that's going to help some way, isn't it? You know, when the oil price goes up, because obviously over the last few months, this NAV, their NAV's been down, we saw oil hit $27. So now it's almost double that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, in the last reporting, I think the price of oil was about $44. So it's not going to have a massive uplift in the next report. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a positive. It should stop the decline anyway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's St. Peter's Port and Capital. What's the other one you're looking at?
So the other one I've been buying is a company called Zmno, Z-M-N-O.
Yeah, and I did mention quickly before the podcast, for some reason I did a filter screen sort of screener, and these came up, and I'm actually following these on my Vox Markets website here, and I can't remember why. I did some research on them, and I forgot why I was following them, but so it'd be nice to have a refresher. Why are you looking at these, Dan?
Yeah, well, they're a mobile payments, mobile marketing company, and they just, I think to me, it represents excellent value because their revenue continues to go up. So, you know, this year, the revenue is up 22% on the previous year. So it's up to 24.3 million euros. The EBITDA is up nearly 10%. And the profit is up 13%, the post-tax profit, to 2.1 million euros.
Yeah.
They're building a cash pile. So they're up to 6.3 million in cash. And the market cap's 9.5 million. And to me, that makes no sense. Now, I think one of the issues that they've had is that I think a lot of shareholders have been expecting to see some sort of dividend payment out of the cash pile. Now, the company is saying that they want to maintain the cash pile because they're looking to grow, they're looking to be acquisitive wherever possible. So I think that may have put a few people off. The other thing is that the CEO resigned a month or so ago, and you know, he's gone on to a kind of a bigger job in a bigger company. So I don't think there's anything to particularly worry about there. But clearly, a CEO resigning is not going to push the share price up. But I think, you know, this is the time to be looking. This is the time to buy. You know, they'll make a new CEO appointment. They mentioned in that report where they mentioned the CEO resigned that the business has continued along the same vein for the current period. So it's growing even more. And, you know, we're going to get to the point sooner or later where the cash pile is going to be more than the market cap at this rate. So for me, this is one I'm just going to, you know, I'm not looking to trade this. I'm just going to buy in and watch it sort of hopefully grow over the next year or so.
Yeah, when you're looking at stocks there, do you look for, I mean, obviously you look at the value there and the cash. I mean, but you also look whether it's, you know, lowly traded. I mean, whether it's not much interest, or doesn't that bother you? Doesn't it bother you whether it has any retail interest or not?
No. I mean, I love illiquidity. It's my, you know, that to me is, that does not bother me one bit. Because once people start paying attention to it, the liquidity comes with that. So okay. I'm very, very relaxed about that. I mean, you have to have a lot of patience. You look at Tajiri, I bought in September last year, and it only really started properly getting going sort of 5-6 months later.
Yeah. Patience pays there, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. If you've got a good stop, stick with it, I think.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times where I've just sat there, nothing's happened, and I've just sold out. And all of a sudden, a couple of months later, it goes to the ceiling. And oh, my word, what have I done there? Because obviously, if the fundamentals haven't changed, then why sell, And that's, so how much, in fact, give us the three reasons for Zamana then. Why should we add them to our watch list?
Okay, my three reasons for Zamana are the cash pile is worth more than more than half of the current market cap. And the profits are growing year on year. So, and if you took out the cash, the PE on the company is probably less than 3, which is, pretty astounding. Yeah. And also, it's about entry point, buying at the lows. Around this level, I think the low for the year is 8.5. You can probably get in now around 9, 9.5, something like that. And it was forced down as a result of the CEO resignation. I think once an appointment is made, it's going to go back up again.
So it's coming back to me now. They're mobiles, and mobile payments and messaging gateways. That's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and of course, it's a huge market and it's fastly growing. Everyone's on mobile these days, aren't they? So it's got to have some traction there. And looking at the revenue increases, like you said, it's a good thing. But okay, cool. So that's two stocks to put on your watch list: Zamano, which is ZMNO, and what's it? SPPC, wasn't it? Was the other one? Was it?
That's right. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, Dan, lovely as always, and I look forward to seeing these go through the ceiling as soon as they get a bit of publicity.
Hopefully, cheers, you never know. Cheers.
Yeah, and I'm going to Dubai next week, so I may pop in and see that development and see the other two plots.
Excellent. Well, you can give him a bit of a shove. Tell him to move it on a bit.
Well, not before I buy some though. Cheers, Dan. Speak soon.
Cheers, bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is, and I quote, the UK's favourite technical analyst. It's Zach Mir. Well done, Zach. Well done for that. I didn't realise you'd been awarded that. That's amazing.
Well, favourite. I think, so I used to be the UK's leading chartist, actually, at one point, but now I'm just favourite. I think, I don't know, I'm not sure what's better or worse, actually, but
I think favourite's better, because if you're leading, you always got some people biting at your ankles, having a go at you. If you're favourite, people like you. That's a good thing.
I think it's like being a trainee national treasure or something.
Yeah, well, it was...
That's what I want. That's what I'm building up to. Another 10 years, 20 years, I'll be like the Stephen Fry of technical analysis.
Yeah, well, I did tweet this out, and all of a sudden I got a tweet from Nicola Duke, of course the regular technical analyst on the podcast, saying, "What?" And I said, "Listen, this is not my quote. It's quite official though, because it came via official channels here, and it's in regards to Inspire Energy's investor evening, which is a week."
But Nicola could just still be the best. I'm just the favourite.
Yes, there we are.
I would urge her to she can adopt any. I mean, she can be the best. I don't mind just being the favourite.
There's room for two of you. So two of you standing there, you could say, "Listen,
just two.
I'm the favourite. Yes, but I'm the best. Yes, but I'm the favourite. I'm the best too.
The best man, and also the best man chartist and the best woman chartist."
Yes, so there we are. So this is as part of Inspire Energy's.
It's like the Oscars.
I'm giving you a plug here, Zach. Inspire Energy's Inspire Energy. I'll try again. Inspire Energy's investor evening, which is a week today. Zach is there with the guys. Is it John Gunn? Is he there?
It's John Gunn. Yes, lovely John Gunn and his team of very nice people. Actually, I went to see them once in Sheffield and lived to tell the tale. And it was I saw their factory and their boilers and everything else. And so I'm going to be the sort of the warm up act.
Okay.
On the evening, talking about small caps and my favourites of the moment, and how the whole thing works. And then John and friends will be talking as well. But yes, the UK's favourite technical analyst will be there. Next Tuesday.
And you'll be there as well. Oh, sorry, it's one and the same, sorry. So next Tuesday, how do they get in contact with you, Zach? Is it via Zach's Traders Cafe on Twitter or anyway whatsoever? I'll put a link, that link is there. Yeah, if you want to go, just get in contact with Zach there. You click the link here, voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, and Zach's link will be there, and I'm sure.
It'll be a wonderful evening.
If you can get a seat, I'm sure it'll be standing room only for the UK's favourite technical analyst.
Well, that's right, actually. No, you're absolutely right. But should we go on to the
chart? Yeah, I was going to say,
did we get bogged
down? Yes, before we get too bogged down in patting your back here, let's get into the thing, your favourite four. Okay, what are we looking at? So I've had a request for C machines. That's S-E-E. I don't know if we do that now or later. It's up to you.
Later, I've got Chariot Oil and Gas here, which I'm just, you know, I'm just, it's right on the runway and everything.
So that's so. Char, isn't it?
C-H-A-R.
Yeah, okay, what's that looking like?
Right, it's a sort of habit here of these types of breaks to the upside, but you had the break above the 50-day average in end of February into March, and the shares bounced at or above the 50-day line then. Mm-hmm. And then we had the break of the 200-day moving average at the beginning of April, and we've had two main higher lows above the 200-day line since.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need now, I think, is a clearance of the 50-day moving average again at 8.67 pence, and we could easily retest the April resistance at 12 pence over the next few weeks.
Wow, so on their chariot, they're off.
So, yeah. And you know, the stop loss, you know, back below the 200-day line, which is a pretty robust feature on most charts. So that looks quite exciting. I think that if you look at yesterday's candle, it was a bit of a hammer candle there, so that also is encouraging.
What I'm observing from that chart there is literally, I know you like the 50-day moving average, and that stock there tried a couple of times to break, didn't close the day above it though, several times on the way down here, and then we got, what date was that? It was like the 18th of February. It did finish above it, and next day it came below it though, but then again next day it finished above it, next day it finished below it, then popped right up beyond that and moved up, didn't it, you know?
Yes, it's all. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the 50 and 200-day line is just a good way of testing the strength of a stock. Obviously, these small caps are very relatively liquid, fiddly, messy, and the 200-day and the 50-day lines. It's like there's very, very strong lines in the sand, and that they tend to be, you know, robust either as resistance and support. So it is a useful thing.
Absolutely. All right. What's the next one, Zach?
Next one is IOFINA.
IOF, yes, and had it on the podcast a couple of times there, and they had a heck of a bounce. I'm not saying coincided with the podcast, but I was chatting to the guy. I thought, well, this just seems to be undervalued a little bit. So a big resource there, and next couple of days, it just went through the ceiling, you know.
A bit of a night, I suppose it was. What was it? It's come down from a long, I think we were talking about this before, it's been much, much higher.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a sort of a stock market darling, let's say, and a fund manager's darling. It turned into the opposite of what a darling is. And the big turnaround here was in April with the vertical move through the 50-day moving average. If you look closely, you can see that it actually left a little gap down there.
Yeah.
So it was both a bear trap below 5p and a gap through the 50-day line. I like to call that the rocket launcher.
Hey.
So a rocket launcher formation there, and straight through the 200-day moving average on the second time of asking. And basically, since then, you've seen the bounces at or just below the 200-day line, and then the gap higher. But this, for me, is a mid-move consolidation between 15 and 20p, and then the next stage will be up from, if we can close above 20p, up to 30p, which would be a line drawn from last July through the October high. So a broadening triangle and a decent break to the upside. And I suppose if you project a bit over in the next week, I would say we'll have a golden cross buy signal between the 50 and 200-day moving averages.
£2.40 that was 3 years ago, May 3 years ago, 2013, and it hit a low of about 4p. That's a phenomenal drop, isn't it? But
but the actual turnaround there was relative. You know, if you sort of follow my methodology, inverted commas, every week, you probably see that it's a sort of the same thing that I do, or the same indicators. They say 10 different triggers that I use, and that gap near the bear trap gap reversal. Bottom of the range tends to be a good one. I think, if I remember, following on from that, the stock, which I wasn't going to cover today, but I think it has had the same sort of rocket launcher type formation, was Independent Resources, where there was this final bear trap below 0.05, IRG is the ticker, in last month. Mm-hmm. And it's left a little gap there in the same way as the last stock did, which I've already forgotten what it was. What was it?
Iofina.
Yes, we've got the memory of an amoeba. So basically, this is also a bear trap gap reversal and a rocket launcher takeoff.
Yeah, it has. IRG, yeah, certainly. Okay.
So that's that. So a bit, but that needs a bit of a pause for breath. I think about 0.15 or so over the next week or two could be achieved. But that just shows that it looks like a major turnaround there, because you had the gap down at the beginning of the year and then the gap up last month. So that's IRG. But that was a side issue just to illustrate the point.
Okay, and the next?
Next, there's just a couple which... there's some stocks that you see them again and again, and people talking about them on Twitter again and again, and they bug me so much. I think, what's going on there? Noricum Gold is one of them. NMG, for some reason people seem to love this. Presumably it'll be helped in over the next week or two with the gold price firming up after the non-farm payrolls last week being so bad. 0.15 support there. I'm looking for the shares to go back up to 0.23 over the next the course of June. If you want to wait on a clearance of the 20-day average at 0.17, then do so before thinking of buying them. Big target there, 0.3 pence over the course of the summer.
Yes, okay. And met Greg. Did you meet Greg there at the UK Investor Show? And I had a few drinks with him in the bar afterwards, actually. In fact, I always seem to see you, Zach, and it always seems to coincide with drinking. I don't know if that's...
I don't know why that is. I think it's just because I get thirsty.
Yeah, that's it.
I talk too much and then I get thirsty. Yeah. I think that's the problem.
You were certainly talking last week at the Vox Markets launch. You were talking like a crazy to all kinds of people. I don't know who they were, but you were deep in conversation.
Well, most of the people are trying to avoid me, actually, but there's always a few words in before they run away, that's all right. Okay. But I had a great time. It was very, very nice.
Yeah, it was
actually.
Nice.
It was good to see Mrs. Waite there.
Yeah, well, that wasn't her. That was a different lady. Don't tell the missus that. That was somebody else. That was
okay.
Only kidding. Only kidding. She's never going to listen to podcasts. Anyway.
She was very nice. She was very nice. I have to say.
Yes, well, it is.
What she's doing with you? How it all happened? You'll have to tell me.
I often ask myself that question as well. Right.
Next stock is Sarium Holdings. Multiple resistance points here since April around the 1 pence level. But I think it's just a matter of time before we break a penny. So basically, put that on the watch list for a break of the 1 penny level. Quite an obvious resistance there. But I think that if we break that after the 2 month plus consolidation that we've had around 0.8 to 1 pence, there'll be quite a logjam breakout, so to speak. And the stop loss there below the 50-day line at 0.83 is a relatively obvious one and should be quite a secure one as well. So that is that one. Just a couple to go.
Yep.
First is Seeing Machines.
See? That's C. Yes.
So on that, let's... Well, I'm trying to be tactful here. I think I would be waiting a bit longer for this to revive. There is a line of support from August 2014 running through 3 pence. So if you love the stock, mm-hmm. and given the way that the shares have been oversold of late, then this is a place to go long. But I'd rather see a higher low put in. And normally the trigger of the trade is to wait for a higher low after a big, after you've seen a stock take a pounding, because any stock can give a rally just as a dead cat bounce.
Yeah, I'm looking at 3 pence there, and it did dip below that and then didn't like it down there. Came back, and you can see, like you said, that previous resistance back there in 2014. So, you know, if you were daring, like you said, you may think this is the bottom, but there's no confirmation yet.
But
you know,
I don't think there's any... I mean, there's no real reason. I think, actually, what is interesting, I suppose there was a gap in 2013 through... 3 pence, and in fact we bounced off the top of the gap, so on that basis I'd be more of a buyer than actually just saying, oh, it's gone down a long way, let's buy. So there's a little bit more for keen people to go long at 3 pence, but with a stop loss just below that level.
Yeah, so we're saying a nice little support level at 3 there. All right, cool. Yeah. What's next?
Just a couple more quickly. One which is also seems to be a Twitter type of situation, Sylvania Platinum.
Yeah, SLP.
SLP?
I do own this, and I've had it for a while, but it's very volatile. Literally, it'll be up like 6-7% in one day, in the start of the day, and then be down by 3% at the end of the day. And
very liquid. Yeah, I think it's liquid and volatile.
Yeah, some stocks, obviously, when they start up, they pretty much stay there all day, but this will, you have never know any idea where it's going to end up. It could start up negative, end up very positive, you know? So I don't know what's happening here. But,
well, I think there's two points here. One, it seems unlikely it'll fall below the 50-day average at 6.85. The second point is that if you're not in it, to avoid all these headaches and frustration, just wait for a weekly close above the 200-day moving average at 7.85 pence before going long.
I mean, you could say you put a limit order in, you know? I mean, because there's strong support there, isn't there? Like the 6.5. So you put a limit order at, you know, 7 pence maybe, and then there's not a lot of downside there really, is there? Cause
yes, exactly. So just, yeah. But just trying to get above the clouds of this range, this irritating volatility.
There's a big seller there, that's the trouble. It mightn't... selling, so that's the big seller. But fundamentally, if you look at the fundamentals, it's a good story fundamentally and undervalued. But once this sells out, hopefully, the people are saying it should fly. Well, so that's what's...
Well, the other thing, I suppose, if rates are not really going up in the US, the gold price will continue its recent, you know, or precious metals will continue their recent recovery. So that's something to remember. The final stock... Yeah. Which is Westminster Group, WSG.
Yes, I see, yes.
And in fact, this is the third stock with the my own silly nickname, the rocket launcher thing with a bear trap gap reversal. Gap remains unfilled from last month through or below 6 pence.
Yeah.
What's good here is after that bear trap that you had below 6 pence last month, you've had a much higher low at, 8 pence plus for the start of June. And looks very encouraging indeed, in fact, at the moment. And I think that really, and the RSI is not overbought at 63, so that's positive too. Above the 50-day line, 9.93, I reckon we're going to go back to at least the December resistance at 24, 25p. So
nice.
Very, very encouraging there. But that gap left there is a wonderful thing to behold from my point of view.
Marvellous. Well, Zach, as ever, I can see why you are... quote, the UK's favourite technical analyst. And I won't be here next week, but this time next week I'll be in foreign climes, and you'll be doing in the evening.
So I'll just have to talk to myself next week.
Well, you will be doing the investor evening, so you'll have other people to talk to, you know. So.
Oh, that's good, actually. That's all right. Yes, you're absolutely right, actually. So, okay, well, I look forward to the next time we speak.
Marvellous. Zach, speak
thank
then.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential, as suggested by Market Master, is Servision, SEV. What does the company do? Security Communication Technology, a leading provider and developer of manufacturer of fully integrated video recording and transmission systems for security and transportation sectors. How many shares does the company have in issue? 127 million. What's the current price of market cap? It's 2 pence, 2.54 market cap. What's the revenue and profit loss the company make? So the financials are due out on June the 30th, 2016. Half-year results for 6 months ended June 2015. Revenue was 1.2 million with a loss of the period of 1.5 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? On the 23rd of Feb 2016, the company received $1 million unsecured loan from a shareholder for use as working capital. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, live video surveillance is becoming more and more essential these days and will soon be compulsory in all public transport and be insisted by insurance companies. Number two, Servision have changed to a recurring revenue model, which should see revenues rise exponentially. And number three, Servision boasts the following customers: DHL, Royal Mail, Gatwick Airport, Manchester Airport, G4S and Stobart, etc. So that's Servision. Please do your own research. That's SEV. And we had Gideon from Servision on the podcast a couple of times, I think. So, yeah, check him out. And if you want to follow that stock on Vox Markets, just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click on the blog there and you can follow that. Also, SEV. Thank you for listening. Muchos appreciators.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.